That's irrational. You know what the rational mind says? Rational thinking says, the longer you're without it, wake up and smell the coffee. You ain't got it because you ain't gonna get it. Hello. What kind of faith gets stronger the longer you are without your answer? Supernatural kind of faith, Abraham kind of faith, kingdom kind of faith. Now, here's how I chart the verse. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He was a roller coaster the whole way. But Abraham had found a mechanism in God that when he had one of these, does anybody in the house know what one of these is? When Abraham had one of these, he would like, that promise, that came from God. I know God gave it to me. And he would wrap his fingers around that promise one more time. And he would rise again in faith and say, God is for me. He's writing a story. I know he's going to. And he would again rise up in faith. And for every one of these, he would do one of these. And so, yes, he was a roller coaster, but he was strengthened in faith because God's not looking at this. He's looking at your trajectory. And God says, you've got more faith working in your spirit at age 100 than you had at age 75. And to me, that's not wavering. Here's how God does the math. He takes off all your lows, because he's not depressed when you are. And he takes off all your highs, because he's not impressed when you're having a prophetic moment. And he's looking to see, how will you walk through the years? Hear me carefully, please. God does not measure your spiritual journey in days. Somebody says, oh, what a day. He doesn't even notice. He doesn't measure your spiritual journey in weeks. Somebody goes, oh, that was a bad week. Oh, ouch. Not even a blip on his screen. He doesn't even measure your journey in months. Somebody goes, March. Thank God. April Fool's. Okay, I'll take it. God measures your journey in years. The question with God is not, are you having a good day or a bad day? Are you having a good week or a bad week? Are you having a good month or a bad month? The question with God is, where will you be this time next year? Where will you be this time 5 years from now? Where will you be this time 10 years from now, sis? Brother, where are you going to be in 15 years? As for me, I've resolved to be strengthened in faith. I'm going to abide in his word. I'm going to hold to his love. I'm going to grow in intimacy, grow in understanding, grow in the knowledge of Christ, grow in his word, grow in love. And somehow in the grace of God, as I'm growing in him, yeah, I'm kind of a roller coaster. But I don't really pay the roller coaster a whole lot of attention anymore. Actually, I have come to perfect the art of roller coaster. I really know how to do it well. You catch me at 9 a.m., I'm one thing. 2 p.m., I'm another thing. And I could care less. I don't pay it any attention. Good day, bad day, good week, bad month, week, good month, bad month. I could care less, because I have resolved in my spirit, I am going to love him and serve him and grow in this thing. Check me out in 5 years. Check me out in 10 years. I'm going to be strengthened in faith, giving glory to God.
Amen.
Somebody says, well, Bob, the reason you're not healed yet is you don't have enough faith. I'm like, Well, that's a no-brainer. Of course I don't have enough faith. Who ever had enough faith? But I'll tell you this, I got more than I had. Why? Because I'm being strengthened in faith. But I don't have as much as I'm going to have because I'm being strengthened in faith. Beloved, God's writing a story with our lives. Let's enter into the thing. Let's lay hold of that thing. Let's get large in intimacy, large in the Word of God. Let Him write the story and come through the thing, strengthened in faith, enlarged in hope, enlarged in goodness. So large that now I can enter my promised land, take my promised land, inhabit my promised land, and hold on to my promised land. The enemy wants to tell you you are disqualified from your promise because you're such a wishy-washy roller coaster. And there's this little tiny voice that has come to Cape Cod to say, God is writing a story with your life. Never assume that his silence means no. You have not disqualified yourself because you're like this. If you will stay in the race, he's looking at your trajectory.
Amen.
I think I'm looking today at some saints that are growing in faith, that are being strengthened through the years. God's writing a story with our lives. Lord Jesus, would you finish the chapter you're working on right now, and would you help me to cooperate with you? Let's make it a cliffhanger. If you have the patience for it, I'd like to tell a story.
Oh, yes.
I'm finished with our scripture. Now, some of you have already heard this story. I realize that. So if you've already heard it, I just want you to pretend like it's your first time, all right? Because there's a few folks here who haven't heard it. 1994. I'm 2 years into this. I'm still trying to pastor our church, but my pain levels are going like this. My strength levels are going like this, and I can read the writing on the wall. It's over. So I'm a train wreck. I'm in a horrible place. And at the time, I'm like, Lord, can I resign this church? Please let me I just want to quit. God would not let me quit. I can't go on and I can't quit. And the elders of our church were very gracious. They gave me a sabbatical. 6 months. You're saying to yourself, 6 months full salary doing nothing. Sweet. It was horrible. I call it the summer from hell, 1994. They are paying me now to work it out with God. God, where is this going? What are you doing with my life? And I can see nothing. I remember this one weekend. We had 3 services at the time. Our sanctuary actually wasn't much bigger than this one. We were kind of crammed in there. We had a Saturday and 2 Sunday. And so I would bring my family to Saturday night service so that I wouldn't have to do it on Sunday. You know, so I got up Sunday morning. I don't have to go to church. Yes. I got in my reading chair, opened up my Bible, because in that season, the only thing that would break through the oppression on my mind was a living word from God. A rhema word. Anybody understand when I say a rhema word? You kind of know what I'm talking about? A living word. And so I get up Sunday morning. I get in my reading chair. Get my Bible. Please, 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 please. I'm desperate. I'm so oppressed. Nothing. I tried praying in the spirit. Let's get the river going. Dust Bowl. Finally, I threw my Bible on the ground. I said, that is it. If I'm going to hurt this bad me, self-centered, navel-gazing, pity party, fetal position, self-centered, my world, the pain, I hate this. If I'm going to hurt this bad, my kids are having fun today. I'm taking them to a baseball game. Now, understand the tradition that I was raised in. You didn't go to baseball games on the Lord's Day. Sunday is the Lord's Day. That's our Sabbath. We don't do baseball games on the Lord's Day. So I've never been to one of these games, never mind on the Lord's Day. But I'm hurting so bad, I don't care about the rules right now. So we're living at the time in the Rochester, New York area. Anybody ever been to Rochester? Anybody ever heard of Silver Stadium? I'm looking for somebody to get on my side right now. Silver Stadium, Rochester, New York. The Rochester Red Wings, a triple A ball team. So I threw my three kids in our minivan. I've got a daughter and two boys. Threw my three kids in the van. We got a couple other neighborhood boys. Threw them in the van. Off to Silver Stadium. We're going to watch a ball game. It's a mid-August day, 1994. 75 degrees. Not a cloud in the sky. Picture perfect Sunday afternoon. I'm like a first timer in church. Where do you park? How do you get in? Where's the bathrooms? How do you find your seat? But I'm trying to act cool. Come on, kids, here we go. And we eventually find our way to our seats, and we're in this stand. There's some stands above us, and I'm in a foul mood. Everybody gets Coke. Everybody gets popcorn. Everybody gets a hot dog. My kids are sitting there. They got their hats on. They got their gloves. They're stuffing their faces. 75 degrees. Baseball in America. And the cloud has not moved an inch over my head. I am absolutely miserable. And I start having this, I don't know if I should call it a conversation with God or just self-talk. But it starts going through my head. God, do you even know where I'm at? And I didn't mean, do you know that I'm at a baseball game on a Sunday afternoon? What I meant was, God, they are paying me to pray right now. They are paying me to work this thing out with you. I am coming after you in fasting and prayer. I am living in your word. I'm tearing the thing apart. I am desperate for a word from your mouth. And I cannot shake the oppression over my mind. My God, this thing is not working for me. Am I going to go insane? Do you even understand where I'm at? And then it kind of turned and became like this. What have I done? I must have done something to get you really angry. Because you're taking away from me everything I've ever labored for, prepared for, dreamt of, given my, everything I've ever been fruitful in. You are taking it all away from me. What have I done to get you so angry? Just tell me. I'll confess. I'll repent. Let's do business right now. What have I done? See, when you're hurting bad enough, you're willing to repent of anything. I mean, you'll repent of stuff you've never done. And I swear, when you're in one of those tender places where, you know, you're just your emotions are just on the edge like that, I swear there is a demon parked on your shoulder, because I have got this megaphone in my ear. Abandoned, forsaken, it's finished, you're a has-been, every war has casualties, you're just a casualty in the war, face the music, it's over. And this voice is so loud, so real, so compelling, and every piece of data in my body is substantiating that is the truth. And yet, did I hear? No. This is real. But did I hear? No. But what? I am with you. I am for you. I'm closer than I've ever been. It's not over. I'm writing a story. And I am so desperately wanting to believe that could be the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Could that be Jesus talking to me here in the ballgame and telling me, I've chosen you. I am with you. I am for you. I haven't forsaken you. I haven't cast you off. You're my beloved. I'm writing a story. I want to believe so desperately that that is his voice talking to me. But this one is so loud. The oppression is so thick, and the symptoms are so painful. I'm sitting in the ball game trying to sort through these voices. And this cockeye idea goes through my brain. Okay, no. I am not going to ask God if I can catch a baseball as a sign that that is his still small voice, that he loves me, he is with me, he has chosen me, that God, okay, that is your voice. I am not asking God for a baseball as a sign. I was raised too well for that. My parents taught me, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You do not do that kind of stuff with God. And so I am not asking God for a baseball as a sign. Stop this. And then it kind of became like this. I wonder if he would let me catch a baseball. Not asking. But would he let me catch a baseball as a sign that he is for me, he is with me, he loves me? And I'm talking to myself, stop this. This is a bad way to think. If you think you're depressed now, Bob, just wait. You are really signing up for some heavy depression. Quit it. And I cannot shut the stupid idea off, and my analytical side kicks in, and I start calculating my chances. So I'm measuring the ball field, pi r squared. I'm counting how many people are in the stands. I'm counting how many baseballs are being caught. They're not catching baseballs. And besides that, we're in a row of stands here. There are some bleachers above us. The ball couldn't even get to us if it wanted to. Stop this. 3/4 of the way through the game, this guy hits a fly ball. With one motion, hundreds of people rise to their feet. Hands reaching for the sky. Gloves come out of nowhere. I've never seen so many baseball gloves at one location in all my life. And I'm on my feet with the rest of the fools. This ball comes up like this. Clearly not coming my way, comes up like this, comes under the overhang, hits a crossbeam at the base of the overhang, careens off it at this bizarre angle, and comes down straight at me. I didn't have a glove. It hit me in my hands, bounced off my chest. It came so fast I didn't know what to do with it. Bounced off my chest and landed in my daughter Katie's lap. Katie goes, I got a baseball. I can't talk to her, but I'm thinking to myself, that ain't your baseball. okay, Austin, I'll tell you this part of the story. I let her keep it. She took it out to play one day and lost it. But I don't care. I got the baseball right here. Okay, sweetheart, it's your ball. You can have it. But it's really mine. There was an old codger sitting in front of us. He turns around and says to me, I've been coming to this ball field every week for 30 years. I have never caught a baseball. Now, I don't know if your theology has room for this, but I'm telling you, God gave me a baseball on a Sunday afternoon. Amen. And here's my read on it. I don't know if I'm right, but here's my read on it. I love you. I am for you. I am with you. I'm writing a story with your life. It's not over. The suspense is the good part of the story. How many love Joseph's story? Because it just has some good suspense in it. Let God write your story. I believe, Lord, that you are with me. Go ahead and just give your heart to the Lord. I believe, Lord, you are with me. You're crafting a story with my life. It's not over. You're speaking to my heart today. I am for you. I am with you. Lay hold of the thing with me. My silence does not mean no. I am still with you. Lord, would you write a Damascus caliber story with our lives? Lord, even in the season of waiting, we want to use it to get large. We want to get large in holiness, large in intimacy, large in love, large in the knowledge of Christ. Increase us, grow us in this season, Lord, we ask. And right now, Lord, we resolve in our spirits, we will not allow the ups and downs of our journey to tell us we're disqualified, but Lord, we're going to be strengthened in faith. We're going to stay in the story. We're going to rise again in faith and allow you to finish what you have started in our lives. Lord, all you have to work with is just people like us. Up and down, clay, but you're the author, the Alpha and Omega. Stand with me, please. You are the Alpha and Omega. Our hearts are set upon you. Our confidence is in you. Our confidence, Lord, is not in our ability to be faithful, but in your ability to be faithful. And we give our hearts to you. Spread your hands before him and just say, Jesus, write my story. Give me a Damascus caliber story. I'm asking you, Jesus, give me my chapter right now. The chapter that you're on, I want you to finish it. I want to lay hold of it. Lord, we ask you to give us the fullness of what's in your heart. We recognize, Lord, there's the potential of missed chapters because Lord, we did not lay hold of it. And today in our hearts, we again come out of that low place to stand in faith and say, you are my Alpha, you are my Omega. Finish what you have started. Give me a Damascus caliber story. Lord Jesus, I thank you for every story that you are writing in this house. Would you finish what you have started in each one, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.